can't help sometimes but think about things. When my brother was speaking, I knew a man one time in Nova Scotia. He came to the gospel different times, to a gospel meeting. He was in our home quite often. He just lived down the road. He was a foreman for the rail sections of the railroad up the CP rail. And then one day he came into my father's store. And he said, "Art, I quit my job." And he said, "And I'm going out on the pulp boat to Europe," wherever they were going. Dad said to him, "George," he said, "I wish I had the confidence that you were saved. Art, when I come in off of this trip, I'm going to go back to the meetings," he said, "and I'm going to get saved." The first day they sailed on the noon tide, that night, when it come time for him to stand his watch, they couldn't find him. He wasn't on the ship. They had seen him earlier for the evening meal, and some of the men had seen him in the common room, but they couldn't find him anywhere. As far as we know, he went overboard. He's never been found, and he's never had one more gospel meeting to go to. That might be what George is longing for tonight, is one more gospel meeting. It's not something to trifle with. I would like to look at John's Gospel, chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3. And we'll read from verse 1. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, 'Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him.' Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh, whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the Son, the only begotten Son of God. And that's as much as we'll read, and I doubt that we'll cover it all anyway. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, and when we come down, you will notice that this man was not just a common run-of-the-mill man. He was a ruler. He was a well-educated man. He knew well the Jewish religion. And he knew well who Jesus was. That's why he came to him and asked him questions. He noticed too that he came to Jesus by night. Why would he come by night? Well, it's been suggested perhaps that during the day, there were so many people that wanted to hear what Jesus had to say, that he wouldn't be able to get near, that he wouldn't be able to ask the questions privately that he wanted answered. I don't know if that's the case, but that's one theory. But anyway, he came by night. Maybe he didn't want to be seen by his peers. Jesus was not very popular in some circles in those days. He still isn't today. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily." That's an expression, a strong affirmation of what is about to follow, what he is about to tell him. "Verily, verily," or "truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You know, there's been different people and they question. This man certainly did. How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? That was the question that Nicodemus asked. We have a son, and he was going with a girl one time. Well, in fact, he did marry her and had children. But her parents were of a certain denomination, and I'm not going to mention what it was. And her mother was studying to be a pastor, a minister. And there was a man of high standing, a high ranking in that religion, and he came to Kamloops, and he was staying with this family. Peter was talking to him one day, and Peter asked him about being born again, about salvation. "Oh, yes, 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 Peter," he said. "It's really nice, you know. It's a nice thing. But it's certainly not necessary. It's not something you absolutely have to have." Well, I'm looking at this, and obviously somebody forgot to tell Jesus about it, because he's working under the assumption here that it is something that is needed. "Except a man be born again, he cannot see or cannot be fitted for the kingdom of God. We've been hearing about the rich man of Luke 16. I don't know what that man knew or what he heard of, if he ever heard of the gospel mentioned to him in his lifetime. But when he died, he ended up in torment. And as we've already been hearing, all he wanted was a drop of water to cool his tongue. Now, how much would a drop of water off the tip of your finger be? If you're being parched in the everlasting burnings, a drop of water's not going to go very far. In fact, right now, any one of us here might have a little thirst, and a drop of water certainly won't do it. Won't quench us. In 1934, there was gospel meetings held in Campbell's Corner on the County Line Road back in Lady Fane. And next to Lady Fane is Tryon. Now there's Central Tryon, North Tryon, and South Tryon, and my family came from North Tryon. There was a neighbor of my grandfather's was over at the place one day, and he said, "Purse," my grandfather's name was Percy, he said, "Purse, don't you pay any attention to what those men are teaching back there and preaching back at Gamble's Corner. I read the Bible through from lid to lid 3 times, and nowhere does it say it must be born again." Now hold it. I'm not going to call the man a liar. Oftentimes, I'm reading and I'm in a fog or partially asleep or whatever, and I get down to the end of the chapter and think, whoa, what did I just read? I know other people who have the same experience. And maybe this man had that experience. He dozed off at the same place each time he read. So I'm not going to say that, no. And maybe he didn't read it. That does not alter the fact that it is recorded in the Word of God that except a man be born again, he cannot be fitted for the kingdom of God. You know, in this portion that we're reading here, hell is never mentioned. Heaven is, but hell's never mentioned. Salvation is not just an escape from hell. Salvation is, we're hearing about the great gulf fixed. When there's a separation between God and man. And salvation is when that gap that is bridged. There's a little poem. When sin first raised its deadly head, it forced a widening span between the man who walked with God and God who made the man. With sense of sin came sense of shame. The naked sought to hide. Instead of fellowship and peace, there came a great divide. But infinite love was wounded sore, it sought to bridge the span, remove the separating wedge, and walk again with man. God gave his Son, his best beloved. He came, he bled, he died to reconcile, he paid the price and bridged the great divide. We've already been hearing. Salvation to you and I is cheap. You know, we don't have to pay anything for it. You don't get any cheaper than that. But it is far, far from cheap. It cost heaven the very best that heaven had. When he come to this world, he suffered, and he bled, and he died on the cross, that you and I might know our sins forgiven, know God as our Father and heaven as our home. Tonight, while the rich man we've been hearing about is in hell still desiring that drop of water to cool his tongue, the man who died on the cross is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high in heaven, looking forward to the day when he's going to come, not to the earth, he's going to come to the clouds, and he's going to give a shout. There's going to be the voice of the archangel, and there's going to be the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, those that we've been hearing about who have died, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, are going to be caught up together. And then we who are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet our Lord in the air. And so are we ever going to be with the Lord. But there's a catch. Ye must be born again. Some people, like this man, they question, how can a person be old when he is born and be born again? Can he enter back into his mother's womb and be born? He's thinking of a physical birth. But the Lord Jesus Christ here is telling him of a spiritual birth. And Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. There are things that we don't understand. And there are men who have made it their life's work, their life's being, to study the Word of God, and to understand, or to try to understand at least a bit of what it teaches. I look at this chart behind me here. This looks like a Murray McCandless chart, is it? Anyway, you have this here, death, this article of death. Everybody is born on the broad and crowded road that leadeth down to hell and to destruction. Like I say, hell isn't mentioned in this chapter, so we're going to just sidestep it for a little bit. Partway down, there's a door. John 10 and 9. Come unto me. And that's the narrow way that we read up in Matthew chapter 7. You see that other road going up past it? That's the rapture of the believers. Those who are never going to die. We read of people in the Bible who have never died. I think of Enoch. Him and God out walking one day in the cool of the day. What they were talking about, I don't know. Certainly, I don't believe it to be the weather. But anyway, I don't know what they were talking about. But I do know that God said, come on, Enoch. Time for you to come home. And Enoch was caught up. I'm sure his family wondered what happened to him. But Enoch was taken up alive into heaven. Someday, the Lord's going to come back, and those of us who are redeemed, those of us who are born again, are going to be caught up into heaven to be with him and like him throughout an ever-ending eternity. Our brother was saying about everlasting. What is everlasting? He mentioned about insurance. I bought a car one time, a brand new car. And along with the insurance that came with the package, I bought an additional insurance. The first time that I had problems with the car and went to use the insurance, there was no company insurance and there was no additional insurance either. It was gone. But we have an assurance here. For God so loved the world. We read in John's epistles, God is love. Not that God loves. Yes, he loves. But God is love. He is love personified. And that love will never die. It will never change. I wonder sometimes, you know, thinking, how could God ever love the likes of me? I have trouble sometimes liking me. But God, a fellow said to me one time, he said, Donald, have you ever stopped to think that when God was laying the footing for the foundation of the world, that he knew you? That he set you aside for himself? I never thought of it that way. But before God ever created this world, he knew each and every one of us. Last night, and I was mentioning to my wife, I like to go out in the evening just before I go to bed and take a look at the night sky and get a little bit of the night air. And last night, it was clear, clear, clear as a bell. And I could see all the stars, billions and billions of stars. And I thought, hey, God has each one of those names. And he knows the name of each one. Not only that, my wife said, yeah, but he knows you too. Puny little you, he knows you. He also knows the hair on my head. Now, there's some of us have quite a bit of hair. Some of us don't. But God still knows. And God still loves us enough that he would send his son to suffer, to bleed, and to die for us on Calvary's cross. Ye must be born again. And with this, I'm going to close. There was a man, he lives not far from here. And he said, look, he said, I don't think I could love a God who would send anybody to hell for eternity. Well, Charles, I said, I'm not sure I could either. But God has no choice. We often say, you know, God, he's so powerful. There's absolutely nothing that he cannot do. Well, I'm going to take issue with that because there are things that God cannot do. God cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. God cannot break a promise once he has made it. And God cannot alter your decision when it's made. When it comes time for you to stand before God, whether at the great white throne or at the Bema, the decision that you have made is a decision that God must abide with throughout an ever-ending eternity. And if your decision has been not to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, but to follow the God of this world, and you don't have to turn, I'm just going to read this to you. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, he says, then shall he say also unto them, on his left hand, it separated us, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And if your desire is to follow Satan, that's where you end up. The only way that we can ever escape is to be born again through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. Our God and our Father, we do thank thee for the opportunity that has been ours this evening to open up thy word, to glean food for our souls from it, to see, our God, that there has been a preparation made whereby we no longer need to be separated from thyself, but we can be drawn onto thee. We can address thee as Abba, Father, and we can know for certain that we will be with thee throughout a never-ending eternity. If there are any here this evening, our God, who are still outside of Christ, might they realize their need. Might they realize the brevity of time. And might they come to know him whom to know is life eternal. We ask that thou would separate us now with thy blessing. Take each to their home in safety. And our God, we thank thee once again for salvation provided through thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on Calvary's cross. Amen.